Romans 16, I'm going to read the chapter. Paul writes, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, and also who were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countryman. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen of the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus and Phlegon and Hermas and Petrobus and Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Well, we started the book of Romans over a year and a half ago. Verse by verse, we've gone through the book. I pray always that it's been profitable to you to have done that. At least we've read the whole book. And in your hearing, we've read the whole book. So I pray that you've picked up quite a bit, that you put in your mind that God the Holy Spirit can use in your life later on. As you grow older, those truths will become more precious to you. And one day when you step into glory, they will be very, very precious to you. So we're grateful for starting that book, and today we're going to finish that book by God's grace. We'll wind it down. And you're thinking, you know, I'm reading through the book earlier, and boy, there's all these names that I can't pronounce, but they're in there. God put those names in there for a reason. If you'll think about it a minute, Paul, the Apostle Paul, had the mind of a teacher. He was a genius. He had a detailed mind. Wouldn't you agree? God used him to pen 13 letters in the Bible. But today, as we read this chapter, we don't see the mind of a genius or the details of a teacher. What we see here is the heart of a shepherd. This guy loved people. He saw people. He ministered to people. And we're going to see that he made a lot of friends along the way. Paul realized that though God had chosen him for something very special, he needed people. He needed special friends. Have you ever taken a walk? I know you have. Through a cemetery. And some of you who love your genealogies enjoy doing that because you're looking for family members. But your eyes will fall on a lot of different names written on those gravestones. Each name has a story, a life that's lived, relationships, joys and sorrows, victories and defeats. Every name lived on the planet. And they were important to other people. This passage deals with people. The Apostle Paul never overlooked them. Also gives us a little insight into the lives of the early church. We might ask ourselves, what were the people like who ministered in that early first century church? We're going to find out today. With that in mind as our introduction, could we pray together? Father, would you allow God the Holy Spirit to teach our human spirits, those human spirits that have been made alive because of our faith in Jesus Christ, your living word. And Father, as you teach us today, would you impress upon us that we are never to overlook people. You bring people into our lives for a purpose. You never waste people on us. There is a reason they're here. And Father, show us the wisdom of cultivating a relationship with those people, of building strong friendships that last a lifetime. Not just acquaintances, but deep, abiding friendships. Teach us this truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul mentioned here 26 people by name, and he referred to others. Let's launch out. Look in verse 1. Romans chapter 16, Paul says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Now here Paul puts Phoebe, this unknown person to many of us, right alongside Peter, James, and John. These are just ordinary people. And had Paul not mentioned them, they would have gone through history unobserved. But he mentions here Phoebe. And he brings them up, these people's names, because these people that had been tested, their faith has been tested and tried, and they have been found true. And he singles out Phoebe. Her name means bright and radiant. And from Paul's description here, it fits. The name fits her perfectly. She's from Cenchrea. Cenchrea was a little burg right next to Corinth, little city next door. And they evidently had a group of believers there. And Phoebe was a part of that group. But he calls her here a sister and a servant. Keep in mind, we're not only tied to Jesus Christ by faith in Him, but because we are a part of His body, we are tied to each other. We are members of each other. And there are no unnecessary parts in the body of Christ. There are no second-class citizens here. Everybody has a part to play. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has value to us. So we're careful not to overlook anyone. Keep in mind, God doesn't waste people on us. If you're here, you're here for a divine reason. You're here for a purpose. And she has proven herself. Phoebe has been tested and found faithful. And Paul says, for that reason, receive her in the Lord here in a manner worthy of saints. Think about that a minute. You're a set apart to God as a child of God. You are somebody to Him. You are precious in His sight. So you are to be somebody to us. You are to be very, very special to us. So he says, assist her, that's the result, assist her in whatever she needs because she has assisted other people. She has been faithful to minister, Paul says. Evidently, he had observed her life and he had watched her faithfulness. She had met the needs of the saints. Back then, there were no Holiday Inns. And when you traveled, it wasn't safe. They had these inns that you could stay in at your own risk. It wasn't safe. And believers knew that. So many times they provided their homes so other Christians could stay in their homes and they would feed them and house them. And even sometimes provide an escort through country that they were not familiar with. So believers ministered to each other. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. That's why we have, listen, a divine calling here at Glendale. To minister, to serve each other. And then he says in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. The word greet here is a special word. It means to single out for a special purpose, a special reason. To pay close attention to them. Everybody likes attention, right? I mean, we all do. We love to hear our name read publicly or spoken by other people. We want attention. We need to be needed. Priscilla and Aquila here are evidently a husband and wife team that served the body of Christ. They were not kings or priests or prophets. They were not apostles. Just a couple. Just a man and a wife. But they were very special to Paul. Why? Look in verse 4. Who risked their own necks for my life. They had jeopardized their own lives for His sake. God used them to preserve Paul's life so that we could receive 13 letters from him. How important was that? So that husband and wife team were very important to the body of Christ. And it says, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now he mentioned that specifically, of the Gentiles, because this was a Jewish couple. And it was difficult for them to minister to the Gentiles if you know anything at all about how the Jews, the early Jews, thought about the Gentiles, what they thought about Gentiles. But they ministered without prejudice. Gentiles came to their homes. they took care of them, as well as the Jewish believers. Look in verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now, think about that verse just a moment. It teaches us the church is not a building. The church is people. We're the church. Now, we meet in a building, and I'm glad it's a nice building. I prefer air conditioning. And I like our carpets. I like our walls. I like the decor. I like it all. It's comfortable. It's a good place to meet. But we don't worship this building. And folks, this is not the church. No matter what we call it. We're the church. Those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, you are the church. You are the body of Christ. Now, it is the church when we're here. God lives here when we're here. But God doesn't live here when we're gone. Spiders, all crickets, bugs, all over the place. They live here a lot of times. That's why the women take care to wash the dishes before we eat. This is not God's house. It is when we're here. Be careful what we teach children. That's doctrine. That's important. Continuing verse 5, greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Epaphroditus was one of Paul's first converts in what would be modern Turkey today. First person Paul led to Jesus Christ in modern day Turkey. So Paul is bringing him up and mentioning Epaphroditus. Verse 6, greet Mary, who labored much for us. Now, we don't know much about Mary, but we do know that Paul says she worked hard. He observed her and he watched her work. By the way, please, please, please remember this. What you do here is appreciated and observed by other people. Even though we don't always run up to you and pat you on the back and tell you how important you are to us, we could not do ministry without you. And what you do is valuable, not only to the Lord Jesus Christ and His body, but to us here at Glendale. Verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junia. Now, Junius is a woman's name, and Andronicus is a male. So it's probably a married couple. My kinsmen, King James says my countrymen, but kinsmen is probably a better translation. It may have been Paul's family members, might have been some cousins of the Apostle Paul, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners. These people may have shared a cell with Paul while he was in prison, in jail. At any rate, they were very special to him, so much so that he mentioned them in the Word of God, Andronicus and Junica. Now notice this, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. In other words, the apostles mentioned Andronicus and Junia quite often. Their names came up in conversation among the apostles. How important is that? Talked about them. Paul says, I've heard of you. I know who you are. I know where you work. Boy, that's important. Look in verse 8. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Beloved is a term of special endearment. It means a heart-to-heart relationship. You know, it's my prayer that as we drift through this area, my wife and I, we build a lot of personal relationships here. Now, I don't mean just acquaintances, but I mean heart-to-heart relationships with people, where we share our heart with you. You get to know us at a personal level. We get to know you and your family. And we get to love you personally. And you get to know us that way. Not just as your pastor, but as a friend. This is what Paul is talking about here. He says, mark your friends well. That's really what he's getting at. Mark your friends well. Know who they are. Maintain those relationships. Don't let them go. Now, though you may fuss sometimes, don't let them go. Verse 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Paul recognized his faithfulness. And Stakes, my beloved. Paul loved him. Paul loved Stakes. How would you like to have a name like that? Stakes. Verse 10. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. This is a word, one word in the Greek, dokimos. That means tested and found approved. Those special friends are the ones that you go to war with. You go through some tough times with special friends. You go through times in ministry when the money's short, it's not there, and you don't know where it's coming from. We can't pay the bills. So we have to cry out to God to supply the needs. But we do it together. And our faith grows stronger because of those here with the gift of faith. And we begin to trust the Lord for bigger things. But we become tight in the Lord. That's what I'm saying. We become strong friends because we fought battles together. We've gone through the battles. We've waged war. And when we come through, we're still standing. And we look around, not just at faces, but at people whom we love. The one thing Linda and I realized when we came here is that we were here for the duration, as long as God would keep us here. And we were committed to that. And it has not been easy for us, nor has it been easy for you. But in the process, we've grown closer to the Lord and closer to each other. I wouldn't trade you for any church on the planet, because your faces mean something to me. And that's what Paul is getting at here. Get his heart. Catch his heart. He's not a teacher here. He's not a preacher here. He's a friend. He has the heart of a shepherd. Greet those, he says, who are of the household of Aristobulus. Now, we don't have any names here. Verse 11, greet Herodian, my countryman, a fellow Jew. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Now, these are probably twin sisters, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Their name means delicate and dainty. Now, I have an idea that was their name before they were saved. I think after they were saved, they became rough and ready. That's what I think. Listen, I found this to be true in my ministry. God uses people of all kinds. Educated, uneducated. I mean people who are rough externally, rough. They've been through life. But God uses them. And I'm looking for a heart. I can sometimes now, after all these years, I can look past that rough external down to the heart. And I see that in people. A heart for God. A tenderness in there. That's that word meek. That's the kind of people I want to be around. I mean, you're tough. You can hang. You're tough. But you got a heart for God. And you got a tenderness that's in there that I can grasp and I can hold on to. And I grow to love you, and I pray you love me in return. Tryphena and Tryphosa. He says, greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Persis doubtless received her name from the land of Persia, where she was from. And he used, again, beloved, but he also tagged something on here. I like that. He said, the beloved. You see that little word, the, there? That little article? That means that not only did Paul love her, she was loved all over the place. She was known as the beloved. God had raised her up to be someone very special. She was loved by a lot of different people. So much so that the great apostle says, the beloved. He not only said she worked, but that she worked, watch, much for the Lord. She did over and above anything anybody would expect of her. And that's what I love about Glendale. We do that here. You go far beyond what's expected of you. I've watched you. And it's not overlooked. And it's not unappreciated. That's what we want you to understand. That's what Paul is saying. Who was it that wrote these names? The great apostle Paul. He just gave us 15 of arguably the best chapters in the Word of God on grace. And now he's talking about these people. These nobodies. Well, they become somebody to me. I even worked hard to try to pronounce their names correctly. Look in verse 13. Greek Rufus, chosen in the Lord and his mother and mine. Now, Paul's use of chosen in the Lord is not talking about divine election here. That's true of all of us. Paul says that Rufus is very special to me. He's chosen in the Lord. He's a chosen friend of mine. I chose him to be a special friend. And Paul is not saying that Rufus is his physical brother, but that his mother is also thought of by Paul as his mom. You know, through the years, through 40 years of ministry, I've had a lot of women who I've thought of as being my mother in Christ. God has used a lot of them in that way. And the same with you. You've had your moms in Christ right here at Glendale. Many of you have. You thought of them as my mom in the Lord. They've met my needs. They've fed me when I'm hungry. They've been a good counselor to me. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Paul doesn't make any comment about these five men, but he does mention the brethren who are with them. And that may indicate that these men were leaders in some capacity in the local churches. I don't know that. Verse 15, greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Again, they're just names, like those names on those marquees in the cemetery. But there's a reason for their names. These are people. Each had a family. Each had a part to play in the body of Christ. Verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. Got to be careful with this one. In the ancient world, in the early church, they often greeted each other with a hug and a kiss on the forehead and a kiss on the cheek. It was a symbol of high honor if you did that. It wasn't ever taken in a sensual, sexual way, but it was a greeting, a special, warm, personal greeting. That's why we hug each other at Glendale. But there's a hug, and there's a hug. Do you get the picture? You got to be careful how you hug. But it's a term of endearment. Someone said, what's the difference between a kiss and a holy kiss? Girl said about 2 minutes. I don't know. I don't know. That kiss is set apart to God to show that we care about each other. It's a greeting. The churches of Christ greet you. Now look in verse 17. Not only mark those, listen to this carefully, mark those who are your friends, mark them. You don't find friends that'll stay with you through life very often. Mark them. But also mark those who are your enemies. You got to mark those too. Paul says, be careful. Single those people out. Pay attention to those. That's what he says. Look in verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those, notice to keep your eye on, those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, now notice this, which you have learned. Stop right there. Hold it. That is the most important phrase here. Doctrine, the truth that you have learned. You know what that implies? That you know something. That's what it implies. It implies that you've learned something that's in your mind. that you can use for fellowship with other believers. So that when you hear someone teaching a false doctrine, you what? You recognize it. That's not right. Because I have the truth. Now, if I don't have the truth, if I've been listening to sermons all my life, and I've not stored up information in my mind, I've not learned truth from God's Word, how in the world can I ever know the difference? Let me tell you, you can't. Unless you've been taught doctrine, then you've stored that information in there and you know the difference. So you can mark those who teach otherwise and those who cause splits and divisions and those who cause offenses, you can mark them. And notice what it says. Mark them and what? Avoid them. It doesn't say, look, oh, but they like us here. They seem so friendly. They're kind to us. Oh, they just need fellowship. We can change them. And well, that's not what Paul says. He says, avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. Jesus said that repeatedly. He said this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. They act like sheep. They talk like sheep. But they're not sheep. Why? Because they divide. They divide. They teach things that are contrary to the doctrines that you have learned. They divide. You've got to be careful. He says, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, and you'll know them by their fruits. Verse 18, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their own selfish motives. They feed their ego, their own selfish lusts. They have hidden motives inside that are not pure. They don't come to unite, they come to divide. Notice this, and by smooth words, they know how to deceive. And flattering speech, they feed your ego. They tell you what you want to hear. Oh, you're wonderful. You're so kind and good. They deceive the hearts of the simple. Now listen to me very carefully. There are many people who devote their entire life to studying the Word of God. But they are not born of God. They are unbelievers. They don't study it to grow by it. They study it because they see something in here that's intriguing to them. And when they come in, they teach their own ideas and their own opinions of the Word of God. They don't teach you what it says. They teach you what they think it says. You got to be very, very careful. Verse 19, for your obedience has become known to all. The way to get around false teachers is just to know what you believe in God's Word and obey what it says. Do what God's Word says. That makes those false teachers very uncomfortable to live around people who are doers of the Word. And he says, therefore, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Be discerning. Be wise. Verse 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The word shortly here is unexpectedly. God will defeat Satan at an unexpected time. A short time. A quick time. Satan does two things today that I want to point out quickly. Number one, he blinds people to the gospel. He blinds the minds of those who would hear the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ. He blinds their minds. Lest they hear the truth and understand the truth and trust Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He works in the lives of believers also. The Bible says he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, Peter says. He cannot defeat those of us who know Christ. He can't blind us to the truth anymore. We know the truth. But what he can do and what he does well is he can surround us with circumstances that cause us to mess up our lives and render our testimony ineffective. We might speak a word for Christ, but who would listen? He trips us up. He devours our testimony. He devours our lives. He puts us on the shelf sometimes to ever be used of God. He's a genius. He knows how to do that. And this is his world system. We have to be careful. Not allow him to do that. Not allow him to entrap us, to ensnare us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Paul is saying, look, you can know all this truth. You can mark your friends. You can mark your enemies. You can do all of these wonderful things. But in the end, you need God's grace to be successful. That's why I pray for you. When I don't know what to pray for you, I say, God, give them grace. That means give them wisdom when they need it. Give them insight when they need it. Give them teaching when they need it. You know what they need. If they're out of fellowship, give them discipline when they need it. Get them back into fellowship. That's giving grace. That's how we all live. Nat Clark calls the Christian life wandering around in grace. That's a lot of truth in that. That's what I do with I wander around in grace. I'm wondering how God can use me. What's going on half the time? I don't know what's happening. I just teach. I wander in God's grace. So I pray the grace of God on your behalf. Verse 21, let's finish it. And he's saying here, keep communication lines open between fellow believers. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater. Sosipater, how'd you like to have that name? My countrymen greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Tertius was Paul's secretary. Paul had evidently a problem of some kind, an eye problem. He didn't see well. And when he would write with large letters because he didn't see well. But Tertius was a good secretary. Man, he just followed Paul around and he wrote it down so that we can have the 13 letters of the Apostle Paul. So Tertius greets us here. This is Paul's entourage talking right now. That's Paul's talking about the people who run with me, my crowd. These are my guys. He says, Timothy's my guy. Lucius and Jason, Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote the epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greet you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greet you. And Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He says it again. What we need is grace. If you don't know how to pray for yourself, God, give me grace. Here it is, verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. And what Paul is saying at the end there, he's saying, look, we're here on the planet to shed light upon God. We walk around hoping to see some of the character of Christ in each of you. That's what we're looking for. I'm not looking for your flesh, and you're not looking for my flesh. You're looking for the character of Christ. And sometimes it comes through, and you're putting on Jesus Christ and showing him to other people. And in the process, you glorify God. You shed light upon him. People says, man, that guy's something. That gal's something. That couple's something for God, for his glory. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to understand this truth. The Bible teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible teaches also that the wages of that sin is death. Now, that's bad news. That means if we die separated from God, we'll spend eternity in a place called hell. That's bad news, folks. That's horrible news. That's scary. That's the kind of truth, that's the kind of teaching that grieves us. Oh, but it sets the stage for the good news. And that's what the gospel is, the evangelion, the good news. And the good news is this, is that God himself paid that sin debt of death. But God, as God, couldn't die. He's eternal life. So in order to die for the human race, for members of the human race, he had to become a member of the human race. He had to become a man. That's what the virgin birth is all about. God himself came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man, equal with God, equal with man. And as the Lord Jesus Christ, he could go to the cross and he could what? Die. And he died in our place. He died to pay our sin debt. He didn't have any sin to pay for. He died to pay up for our sin, all of it, past, present, and future. He paid the debt that we owed to God that we could never pay. He did it, and He died there. And He was buried, and He rose again the third day. Now listen to this. If you will trust Him by faith, you say, Lord, I trust You. I trust Him. I'm putting all my confidence in Him. If I'm going to get to heaven, it's because He gets me to heaven. It's not going to be because my church gets me there, my good works, my turning over a new leaf. I'm not trusting anything or anyone but Him. That's faith. When you do that, the Bible says you're born of God. Have you trusted Christ? Have you taken that special offer given to you? Have you done it? Would you do it? Let's pray.